it's interesting to see how different bands and different artists, how they work, and educate the people more on the variety of music that inspires them.
Since the beginning of the year, a new website, 785.com, has helped keep area residents informed of the local music scene. The Morning Blend host, Jeff Liker, speaks with co-founder Harrison Brent about that in this interview recorded earlier this year on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Local music is something that I absolutely love. We've got a lot of great local bands that, frankly, more people should be going out and seeing.
Absolutely.
At this point. We'll get into that here in a moment here, but let's go ahead and kind of go over the overview of who you are and what you do and everything. You have a photography company called 785. It's a fitting name.
Yeah. 785 is actually, it's actually our publication.
Okay.
The name of it obviously is 785 for the area code. And, you know, that covers all, you know, the majority of northern Kansas, but 785 was built to kind of inform and promote and get music talked about and showcased in the community. It's myself, and I shoot under Harrison Hale Photography. Mm-hmm. Chelsea Collendart is my partner in this this grand scheme. Mm-hmm. She's with Chelsea Collendart Photography as well. We still both do, you know, individual projects and everything,
but sure.
Music and local music, live music, you know, concert photography, it's all our, both of our biggest passions. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different contributors as well. Some photographers, writers, and we're always looking for, you know, anybody that wants to contribute to the site, to that wants to get published or, you know, showcase their skills, their photography or their writing skills.
Right.
And it's always going to be growing. Kind of have to try and press the brakes a little bit on some of the things, not to grow too fast or do things.
Or you get burnt out, overwhelmed, everything.
Yeah. Exactly. And I, that's one thing I've come to find in the last couple months, since we launched, January 2nd. And we've been talking about it for about 3 or 4 months prior to that, about doing this. But that's the one thing that I found over the last couple months where it is exhausting and it's tiring, but you know, it's a passion project and, you know, you want it to succeed. It's
right.
It's our child.
Yeah. And to kind of talk on, you know, the fact that it's your child, it really, you know, the saying it takes a village, it really does. Mm-hmm. And especially with what you were talking about there with, you know, getting more people involved, and not just necessarily on a back end standpoint where more photographers, more writers and things like that, but also like getting community excitement involved.
Exactly.
Because without the community excitement for these local bands, you know, like those of you listening out there, your favorite band started off as a local bar band. Yep. Whether you like to admit it or not, they had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And getting that support early on just helps so many bands. They may never, you know, sign with like major labels or anything like that, but they're certainly not going to if they're not getting the support that they get with local communities and things like that.
Exactly. Take Hinder. Hinder, they came to Hayes at the beginning of January, and that was a sold out show at the Fox.
Yeah.
And they started somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they may not be the original members of the band, but every single person in that group, they start somewhere. Giovanni the Hired Guns, another sold out show.
Yeah.
You know, even country artists, you know, they started out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge local music community that you come to some shows and there's this inner circle kind of
like a core people. Group. Kind
yeah.
Of thing. Yeah.
And it's, you can always see them there.
Yeah.
But you know, I'd love to be able to get the word out and just get people to come to these shows that they're smaller shows. Like we've got, here in Hayes, we have, the Rose Garden is starting to put shows on.
Mm-hmm.
There's
the Fox,
there is a Sip and Spin and, I almost said Singers there for a second.
Golden Q.
The Q does put on shows. Yep. The Rail. oh man, there's, I know, the Fort just put in a stage.
Yeah.
So probably down the summertime, they're going to start getting some shows up.
Yeah.
Even the festivals, mm-hmm. in the area, down in Dodge City is Gunsmoke Sessions, mm-hmm. coming up in April. Rockalua has been a mainstay in Hayes for the last.
Shout out Matt Isley. Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot of local and area musicians that come in, mm-hmm. and play, and just to be able to, you know, see these bands, you know, it's one of those things where it may not be, oh, I know all these songs, I love this music. Mm-hmm. You may not enjoy all of it, but you never know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big country guy, but some of those country acts put on amazing shows.
Yeah.
Friday at the Fox, I'm going to be out there covering the Maddie and Tay show, which mm-hmm. is technically going to be one of the first country shows that I've shot for 785. But they were here at Wild West Fest, mm-hmm. Several years ago, and I was able to capture them, as well as Parmalee. Mm-hmm. They were here just a little bit ago. But there's much more music in town than there is just at the Fox.
Yeah.
In these big touring acts.
Yeah. I remember because you and I are fairly close in age. I went to your sister was in my graduating class and everything. Mm-hmm. And like growing up, like the most common thing that was always said growing up was there's just nothing to do in Hayes. That is so far from the truth. It may have been true back then. I don't quite remember too well. But nowadays there is so much going on that you'd be remiss to miss out on it. And here's the other thing, too, is that most of these venues or most of these acts are oftentimes free cover charge or maybe no more than like $10 or so.
Yes. Yeah. Give or take. $5 is usually like the usually the going rate. You know, and sometimes you get lucky where it's just a band just like wants to play and there's no cover charge and they just want to play. But, you know, $5 for, you know, seeing at least two or three acts mm-hmm. with, you know, 3+ hours of music. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, how much is a CD worth?
Yeah.
How much is Spotify each month? You know, you get to hear that for $5, hear that music for $5, and it's live and there's community and there's just this growing group of people that just enjoy the same things. And you never know, like I said, you never know what you're going to find that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah. And to kind of touch on that too, like you mentioned, like, it's a live setting, obviously. And for me, I always judge a band on how they sound live more than, you know, whether or not their song is good on the radio. Mm-hmm. Because you can produce and polish as much as you can, but if you can't hold that same level of quality live, then, you know, probably not near as experienced as a band.
Absolutely.
Whereas, you know, around here, you know, seeing, you know, Starslinger or Tree Kitty or Dangerously Biased or like some of the other, you know, groups that we have going on here is, you know, they put on a really good live show. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people kind of miss out on that experience because we're so used to having everything streamed to us and everything. But there is a give and take for the live show, you know, the audience is giving to the band and the band is giving back to the audience. And there's just kind of this dance, if you will, between the two that just cannot be described or really experienced through Spotify or Pandora or YouTube or anything.
Exactly. You know, you mentioned Tree Kitty, you know, they just released a new album, TK2. Mm-hmm. And it's a great album. Mm-hmm. Their live show is energetic, mm-hmm. and it's hard to, you know, it's hard to put to words, you know, the difference between their live show and their album.
Yeah.
It's same with Starslinger. They have exploded in just their technical skills, mm-hmm. and just the sound. They really become, a lot of these shows just become more than just an experience. Mm-hmm. They're just a you just want to sit and enjoy and take it all in.
And all for $5.
Yeah.
Cost of a cheeseburger.
right?
And everything. So let's get over into a couple of other questions here, though. Like as far as live concert photography, like whenever I go to concerts, I always try to put my phone in my pocket for as long as possible because I want to be a part of that experience. And there's nothing more frustrating than like being behind that guy with the phone out that's video recording the entire thing. It's like, just put it down and experience it. Yeah. But as a live venue photographer, do you find is there a difference between like sitting there and enjoying the show versus working, if you will?
Absolutely. Okay. I've been doing next month will actually be 10 years since I did my first show. Mm-hmm. That was April Fest, April 20th of 2013, down at Frontier Park. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what I was doing, but, you know, I was just having fun. But over the years, I've come to find that, you know, a lot of the shows, like, after a couple songs, I just have to kind of sit back and enjoy the show because I really don't remember a whole lot because I'm constantly working and trying to get that shot and, like, thinking about, okay, what angle would look good? What is there a shot that, you know, you don't see. I mean, because the more interesting shots are the ones from angles that you rarely ever see or get.
Right.
Sitting back and just enjoying the music, you maintain those memories of what that song, what that show looked like, what that song sounded like. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, you're constantly there just taking pictures or recording video. When are you going to go back and relook and look back at those?
Yeah.
I remember going to see Garth Brooks years ago in Lincoln, and there were several songs where I was recording the performance. And do I mentally remember the show? A little bit, but not as much as, you know, just the ones that, where I go back and listen to me singing along, which is, you know, it doesn't really make the video recorded as memorable, but you know, it's being able to capture those moments in time for not just the bands, but also those that want to go back and experience it. Mm-hmm. That's what my goal in photography is.
Right.
And I can get in and see just about any show, you know, locally here that I really want to. Sometimes I have to ask nicely. Mm-hmm. And I can basically call my shots at this point and just like, I just want to enjoy this show and I don't want to have to shoot it. And I can sit and enjoy the music. I love being able to capture those moments for the bands.
Yeah.
A lot of the big challenge is capturing the energy because photos, you're lucky if the photo itself captures the energy of the set. I think the first time I actually looked at a performance and told myself, man, I am not even close to capturing this was Dangerously Biased drummer Sutton Thompson. Mm-hmm. When Sutton plays the drums, I feel bad for the drums because they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's just such a precision and sound that comes from it. It's hard to capture that energy that they produce.
Yeah.
A lot of even guitarists, Nevin Troon, he's a local guitarist. He plays for Kindred as well as Paramount, number of other bands. But he's an amazing guitarist, and it's impossible. It's incredibly difficult to capture the energy of that show. I mean, and again, that goes back to seeing it live, and just taking that in and just going, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Well, let's move on over to, your podcast, that you have set up, Lot 25. And if I'm remembering correctly, you know, it's a podcast where you're talking to these local bands mostly, kind of doing like kind of stepping on our toes, but I won't hold on to it.
Lot 25 is an opportunity for me to talk with these musicians that have become a part of my life. over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
And get to know them on a closer level. For being somebody that really doesn't know how to make music, it's good to be able to talk and try and understand how they make the music.
Yeah.
What inspires them, how they got their start, who they played with, different bands. Have a more intimate experience than just sitting at a bar talking over loud music.
Yeah, kind of the finer things, if you will.
Exactly.
Because like for me in my experience, what my passion for music comes from the fact that I was studying a history when I was in college, and just like watching kind of the progression of music over, the past, especially when I started a project where I am laying out all of the year-end Hot 100 songs on Spotify since they started the list in 1958, kind of thing. And it's kind of a cool cross-section to see just where music was then and to see the songs that are considered classics now are usually really low on that year-end list. And the songs that people kind of forgot about are, way up there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to think about that. But going in, kind of touching on what you were talking about there, where they came from, it's kind of an anthropological study of it.
The study of cultures.
Yeah. Because like I said, I don't really have, I'm not too terribly musical. I can sing, I can carry a tune, but I never really had the commitment to really, really practice to get really, really good at it or anything. So it's kind of me studying all of these bands, even though they're popular, is kind of my musical nerd out, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you get to actually talk to these people and from the ground up and kind of really dig into what makes them click, what makes them tick, what inspires them and everything.
Yeah. One of the first questions I ask is, how old were they when they first learned how to play an instrument, or what instrument they started playing and what got their introduction to music. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've found is most don't have any kind of classical training. They're just we were in band in high school, and, or, I just learned how to, I believe it was the first episode I put together was with Matt Isley. Mm-hmm. And he learned playing tabs. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk about, the different, his experience growing up in music. Ryan Temkin, the second episode, he grew up in a music family. And mm-hmm. so playing guitar was, just something that came as part of his life.
Yeah.
And I don't have a whole lot of episodes out right now. Mm-hmm. The third one should be out sometime shortly. But, being able to get their stories out there. So maybe some listeners are trying to figure out what got them started? Mm-hmm. Where do I start? Learning how to play guitar? How do I start getting into a band? How do I write lyrics? Mm-hmm. That's the other one too. It's what came first, the music or the lyrics?
Yeah.
And, it's interesting to see how different bands and different artists, how they work, and educate the people more on the variety of music that inspires them. Mm-hmm. You'd think that, just because they play heavy metal, they just listen to heavy metal. It's like, no, or hard rock, no, I like to ask them, music that they want the audience to listen to. Mm-hmm. And an artist, an album, and a song. Mm-hmm. And they don't all have to be the same artist, but the variety of genres is expansive of different types of music to listen to. I believe Ryan gave me a part of an opera that he was listening to. Mm-hmm. Which art bands Metallica they've got their S&M albums that are backed by a symphony. Mm-hmm. So it's just a variety of different stories, and being able to collect those mm-hmm. those stories of, you know, who knows where they're going to be in 10 years.
Yeah.
They could be playing, you know, Tokyo or Chicago.
Yeah.
It's an easy way to say, I knew them when.
Yeah. And you don't want to miss out on that either.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And hey, I know most, the episodes are around an hour long. Mm-hmm. Thankfully through Spotify, I were able to play some of their songs in between the interview segments. Yeah. And we're able to talk about the songs themselves, like why were they writing them, and mm-hmm. and how did they get written, how did the chorus get developed, and what was going through their minds while they were creating it, and just getting a little bit more detail on the songs themselves, and giving me an opportunity to know as much as I possibly can about everything,
yeah,
you know, that I can learn.
All right. Well, Harrison, we got to cut it a little bit short here today. Harrison Brent with 785, one of the co-founders, media production company, basically, is what you would probably call it.
Music publication.
Music publication. Yeah. That's the word that I was looking for.
If I can make mention, there are a couple shows coming up. Friday we got Maddie and Tay at the Fox.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple tickets left for that. Saturday, the 25th, is Tree Kitty, Thunderbird Hotel out of Dodge City, Star Slinger, and Black Cat J, I believe, out of Lawrence. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But they're going to be playing at the Rose Garden Banquet Hall at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And, the tickets are like $5.
Mm-hmm.
But come on out and check us out.